Are you trying to come up with lyrics for our theme song?
Yes.
Our adapted theme song.
It's like a holla if you hear me.
That actually works pretty well.
Do they just go like, do you hear these words in your head as the song plays?
That's exactly how I hear it in my head. So that's what I thought. I literally thought that's what you said. If there's any lyrics at all, probably not. Right?
It's just, oh, there is a voice there, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's what she's saying.
Yes.
Here it comes. It's a girl, right?
No. Is it really? There's
no voice.
I think it's
non-binary, that voice.
Oh, God. Is it a Z? A Zer?
Zed?
Zim?
On C's?
Ryan Zimmerman? I don't know. What the hell is happening?
Man, it's been that long.
Since this group has been together, yes. I'm actually trying to get familiarized with who I'm sitting next to.
The prodigal son has returned. Yeah. And I'm
self-proclaimed scoreboard, prodigal son.
Scoreboard, I'm on time.
I'll have you know, I was legit. I think I mentioned this on the episodes recorded without your presence. I was legitimately looking for attendance awards to print out in your name, and those were consequently discarded.
As always,
immediately
I disappoint.
Yes, if nothing else, your timing is impeccable.
It's great,
just fantastic.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, we have some diehard listeners. They would keep track for us, send us a little progress report.
Oh, I mean,
if we had more than 8 Twitter followers, yes, that would totally be within the realm of possibility.
I win. I win.
I'm not going back to check your work. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
If
so
you say
I
you
mean,
win,
yeah.
I'm taking you.
No,
at your
no.
Word.
I mean, like, I know that I'm here on time most of the time.
I try hard to be here
I
on
know,
time today.
However, right. I'm also the most absences. Because I'm the only one with absences.
You are the most absences, yes.
So yeah, I'm the one with most. So I have to win the most and lose the most. So
that's a really bad percentage.
Terrible, just awful. Start the show, please.
The title's coming. From deep inside the top secret headquarters at Theranos Labs, this is the Bad Slant Podcast. As you heard in the preamble to the show, we are back in full force. It's still taking some getting used to, I have to admit. I've had a little bit of alcohol, and it's calmed the nerves a little, just a hair. Welcome back, Mr. Jack.
What's good?
I didn't mean to rhyme that. I have no idea what's going on. I'm under the influence of zinc and possibly a few other substances, but welcome nonetheless.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
It sounds like we're introducing a guest host. Yeah, so
at this point, you need a walk of music.
You need a bio. You need someone to introduce you and your accolades. Like, it's going to take a while to get, and not just us, but I guess the listening audience back to square one with old Jack. But we're glad to have you back. And, as always, we're available. We're readily available on our website, badslant.com, on Instagram and Twitter, at badslant. Wherever you find fine podcasts, we haven't actually recorded a show in a couple of weeks. And again, we're terrible at just kind of letting things lay.
Yeah, we did. We don't need to call it out.
We don't. Nah. But I feel like I have to. Like we're just the type to pull the curtain all the way back and just let the people know. We've not recorded in 2 weeks, but nonetheless. Or a week? 1 week? 2 weeks?
It feels like it's been a month.
Feels like forever. Jeez. We haven't seen Jack in a month. But it feels like forever since we've recorded. But whenever we do record, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. We tell you all the time.
But do it.
We really mean it. Leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe. Tell us that you're out there. And as always, support us on our tab on the Bad Slant website through our support tab. So we got links to Amazon and Target. This week, we highlight an item of note, something that I think at least two out of the three principals of the show are users of. It is the Apple.
Just two?
I don't have one.
Baby. Shocker, right? The guy who doesn't show, doesn't post, is the guy who does not.
What do you do?
I do. What do you do?
I buy sneakers.
What would you say you do here? You don't listen to the Apple AirPods, but you buy shoes. But the AirPods, I probably mentioned in passing on the show, but without question in my eyes, the best invention that Apple has ever invented, the Apple AirPod.
Second best.
The iPhone being the first. I have an iPhone. We can talk about that. But in my eyes, it's revolutionized the way that I listen to music. It's on sale now on Amazon.com for $149.99. That's a $10 discount. Big deal, because like these things infrequently go on sale, and it's like trying to find it's trying to nail down Jell-O against the wall. Like it's difficult as hell.
Well, Apple doesn't give discounts on their products.
No, so
anytime that there's a discount, and a lot of times it's really small, you take it.
On the biggest sale day of the year on Black Friday,
it's like 10%.
There's nothing.
It's garbage.
They don't even give you 10% anymore. No. It's gift cards, like store gift cards. They just giving you money to come back and spend more money.
Right. So sickening. Whenever Apple says that they're going to give you free money, you take that money. So they're giving away right now the Apple AirPods, the first generation edition of the AirPods for $149.99. And that's obviously with the advent of the new AirPods coming out. But that does not mean that this new product or the old product. God,
old product, yeah.
Does not mean that the old product is bad in any sense. I still use them to this day.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, and trust me, as someone who has gone through several infamous wireless air headphones.
Earbuds.
Earbuds. Yeah. These are worth the investment, so definitely check them out on our website, badslant.com/support, so check them out. Man, a lot's happened since we've last all been together, so I think... someone's had an additional kid, maybe? No?
We've all been... Jack? We're all a little wiser. No.
Little older. Definitely a little older, a little wiser.
Older.
A little
older. Older, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely aged a couple of years.
Well, welcome back, buddy.
Oh, yeah. So Jack was not here for the last shows, but I've been physically gone. In fact, you could argue I'm still gone.
And mentally.
Yes. All the way. So I physically departed the happy headquarters for Bad Slant and headed out west, split for the coast to Arizona for a stretch. It's going to sound like the nerdiest thing. Well, if they're listening to this, they're listening to a podcast. So maybe not the nerdiest thing. But for like even if you're that much more removed from podcasts, it's going to sound weird to say that I traveled 4,000 miles across country to watch a live rendition of a podcast.
Yes. like a show. You were
like I'm following the dead.
Yeah, like you're following an artist that you want to see. So yeah. that's not that out of left field, right?
But I mean, like you say it about a musician or a band. Like right. I wanted to go see Motley Crue when they played the Whiskey a Go Go. Yeah, it makes sense. But I went to go see a podcast. But
It's also an excuse to take a vacation, right?
Because it was a great excuse to take a vacation.
Exactly,
let me just say that.
Yeah.
So it was that was the impetus for my trip out west with the wife. She was actually very accommodating as far as coming to the podcast. One that she doesn't listen to on a regular basis, but one that you know she does partake in from time to time. Mm. And we'll mention it. I mean, I try not to cross pollinate too much with those guys because I have a relationship with some of them, but it's the Big O Duke
all
show.
Of them.
Not an intimate relationship. We're not exclusive or nothing.
You're a character on the show.
I'm an ancillary character.
Well, ancillary.
Based on what we heard on the recent episode, it sounds like you got a little bit more going on.
This was 2 years worth of work. This is attendance. My attendance record at that show, unlike Jack's, is exemplary.
Yes.
So it's taken like, some time to build the reputation.
It's like when you're like back in school and then you know you put in the work to get the attention of the hot chick in the class and then finally after 2 years they recognize you and
I've shown enough cleave.
He's breached the outer wall.
I've breached the perimeter. Yes. Well it's fairly easy for me because they were in Manassas before and now they've literally moved within walking distance to my home, so it would be kind of an embarrassment if I didn't show up on a regular basis.
So I've
built a relationship with those guys and you know again try not to cross-pollinate this show with that show because I kind of want us to stand up on our own merits.
I do too. I like that.
Yeah.
Respect that.
Yeah.
But overall, how was the show? It was great.
The show was incredible.
Well, let's just say this. We're all fans of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, we're definitely like P1s of the show. I just taking it back, these guys, Big O and Dukes, they were a big radio show in this market and then obviously in Arizona and Phoenix. And I picked them up when they came back to the D.C. area.
Did you guys listen to the Big O and Dukes? Well, I know, I think Ice caught on a little bit later, like when the podcast started.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack, did you listen when they were on HFS, like as a substitute for the Junkies?
No, not at all. Not that far back. It was right around 2007. Funny thing, the first episode I ever listened to was when Drab kissed Sven.
Ah, okay.
That was the very first episode.
And that hooked you?
That hooked me because I was working and like as a temp somewhere, right? Like some limp dick office job, yeah. Right? So I was just listening. I was a fan of the Junkies, so I was listening to them, and then it bled into Big O and Dukes.
106.7 the Jack.
And so it just you know, that was the first episode, and I was like, what is happening right now? And you know, that apparently they paid Drab like what, $5,000, maybe $2,000.
I think it was two K.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, just this kiss Ven in the, it was right to, actually it's down the street
at, oh, what, the old,
yeah,
station.
At the old station. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
so Drab is the producer for the show.
Correct, yeah. Yes. He's Drab T shirt. And so we'll get to him later. But yeah, that's how
will we?
Yeah. Yeah. We sure will. But yeah, that's how I hooked on the show. So nice. How did you get on the show, Ice?
Through you guys.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Like it was at a time where podcasts was it was the little app that appeared on your phone.
Right.
And
it was a little app that could.
And it didn't really hit mainstream yet, but I think it was beginning to take off, and the content that's on there, it's, you know, it was mostly like, you know, the produced ones. A lot of these like startup podcasts hasn't really taken off yet. So you only got content from like some of the bigger names in the industry. And, you know, so I was just like searching and trying to find stuff. And then, you know, one day I think you guys made the recommendation to.
We definitely put it over.
You're just like, check this. You got to listen to it. And I, you know, it was during the days while I was working at home. So I was like, why not? You know, so one day I put it on while I was working, and that shit just had me rolling, man.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, what I loved about it just felt like it's what we do when we get together and we just shoot the shit and start drinking and chatting. Yeah. And it was just like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, for sure.
For 5 hours a day.
Wait, did you listen?
Was it really 5 hours?
When they were on the radio, they were on from 10 o'clock until 2 p.m.
God, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry, not 3 p.m.
3,
because I shortchanged them.
Afterward was Michael.
Michael O'Mara, yes. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so
we're obviously radiophiles now.
I just can't imagine hearing them 5 hours,
five
a day,
freaking hours
every single day.
You know what? Also, like I got a job where I was driving around all day, and so I was just I was listening to them all day in the radio.
Jack's stupid ass driving around Loudoun County, yep, like pretending to survey property, but he's just listening to.
I'm just listening to the radio,
talk radio.
Yeah, so there were actually other guys in that office that actually listened to the show and would talk about it.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah. So I mean, it was something we all like talked about. So
nice.
Yeah, man, P1 for sure.
Yeah. So
and now John has breached the perimeter. He is an ancillary character on this show.
I'm so down the totem pole. You have no idea. Like it's not even great. Like this would be the most run in this last week that I got on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
So John, you know, he.
So we came. Everyone, the entire show went to Arizona, and I obviously went out to see them there, and they all came back. And this is actually they've done shows since that live show in Arizona, but this is the first time that I had seen them, which was about a week time in between. So I don't know, maybe it was the fact that I was sitting front row, but that kind of I don't know, triggered something for somebody on the show, and they threw my name out there, and it led to some not extensive conversation, but it, you know, longer than I've ever had on the show period. I think Ice wanted to dissect it a bit.
Yeah,
I told him, hey, feel free not to pull any of this audio whatsoever.
No, I have a couple clips here. I wanted to get your reactions to some of these things. But I you know, what's funny is, you know, I was always listening to them, you know, as soon as it's up. And
we're paying customers. So, you know, just to put that out there, we are subscribers to Big O and Dukes. We give them money wherever we can. So if you if this is an entree into the show, be sure to send them a few shekels with their with whatever products they throw out there.
So, you know, usually every time that I hear a Drab putting you over on the show, it's usually like doing a read or mentioning you.
I can read.
And then
it's a prerequisite.
And then they're always like in some shape or form, like Chad's always like kind of dogging you a little bit, but it's all, you know, I think
it's all in jest. It's all in fun, man.
It's all in fun. And that's kind of like their bits. And you know, it's funny. I find it really funny. And, so this was the first time that I wasn't expecting to hear you come up, and you actually had a really good run. And, this time it involved the wifey too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I pulled,
who they tried to kill.
So I pulled this one clip. So let's start here.
we're at CB Live,
right?
And his wife comes up to me and she says, "I know what's going on with you." I say,
"Pause it real quick."
Okay.
But you're like, "Hey."
So the principal there, that is one drab T-shirt talking like a sexual predator, talking about my wife. Not in an accusatory way, and you know, just referencing her.
I guess without getting into detail, set the scene. Where were you in the show?
So he mentioned this was actually post show. This was
after the show.
After the show, right? Okay. And the location was CB Live in I think it's Phoenix, Arizona, but it's way out there. Like, don't get me started on the distance between things in Arizona. but the location was CB Live where they did their show, and we're all hanging out and having a good time. Like, I had actually met a bunch of Big O and Duke's listeners, and the common thread that everyone continued to say was like, "I didn't expect Asian John to look like this."
So, what? Very odd. What did they expect?
I have no idea. I'm not sure if they're
cliche Asian, I'm assuming.
If they're looking for the guy from 16 Candles, nope, not me. So it was it was that, and then all of a sudden we see Drab going by, and then we're like I just wanted to say hi real quick, you know, and he was glad handing and shaking hands, kissing babies, and then Michelle, well, might have to bleep that, wife pulls him aside and says, "I have a bone to pick with you," and that's not the exact words he says on the show, but that's the words she said to him, and she had a statement to make in that moment, so we'll hear what she has to say through Drab.
"You're in love with my husband."
She doesn't listen. I don't have no. I think John's going home and talking about.
No, I don't think so, Drab. I think it's pretty fucking obvious whenever he's around what's going on.
I hardly saw him. It was the first thing she said. I think Pause John's it. Going home and saying.
The timing was perfect on that one.
That was actually quite good. Well done, everyone. I don't want to come off as some washwoman, but I think I've mentioned in passing that they make jokes about how the producer of the show is in love with me. And, you know, all I do is just kind of reiterate that. I'm not asserting that Drab's in love with me. I'm just reiterating the jokes that
it's just
the
bit.
Other host.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's
all in good fun.
It's all good.
If he does have weird proclivities towards people of my stature.
Yeah, but if you can't figure that out, I mean, if you listen to the show long enough, you'll figure it out. It's just a bit.
It's like, quite obvious. Yeah, but yes, cool. Just wanted to make that clear.
It's pretty funny, though.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's a good bit.
But weird.
All right.
And this weirdo Drab is eyeballing you on the shows, and it's making
Let's say that he is.
I think he's doing that.
Let's say that he is. Is he wrong?
No, I like him. He's one of my favorites. I like Asian John. He's one of my favorites. I like putting him over. I notice him when he's here.
And I appreciate that.
He's small, Asian, my type.
By the way, that's going on my resume.
Small, Asian, my type. Classic.
Have you spoken? Have you had any, deep or maybe more than just say what's up
passing conversation
with Drab?
Not I wouldn't say deep conversations. Okay. Yeah.
Let me be clear as well. I'm pretty sure I've not had a deep conversation with Drab. Even in the midst of all of this, as he's describing.
Sure?
I'm positive.
Well, he likes you. It's because you're always there.
Yeah.
You're consistent, right? Because I would say there are other characters, other guys there that just are always there. And I mean, you can name them if you listen to the show a lot, but you know who they are.
Yeah.
And you're one of them. So, I mean, I think he appreciates that.
And I think you do a lot for the show behind the scenes.
Yeah,
too.
I am. Sure, so. Man. I have washed the tablecloth that they have in studio on several occasions. So I'm sure they're very appreciative of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean,
you're always providing for the nest. So.
I feel like I'm Brick Tamlin. Like, I'm hardly late. but I mean, I'm glad I guess I'm noticed. But I mean, I think this is one thing that he did say to the wife when she cornered him. He said he shows up, he's nice, and he stays in his lane.
He stays in his lane.
Yeah. So I actually took that as a compliment because there are people who show up, there is a culture when you go to when you move into any environment, and if you show up and you kind of act in a way that is outside of that culture, you're gonna stand out in the wrong way. So for something that I put kind of on a pedestal, I don't want to be that guy who's the dick and who acts out and calls attention to himself in the wrong ways. And trust me, with my exemplary attendance record, I've seen the people who have showed up and acted out in the wrong way. So
we hear the stories. So
dear Lord,
so Asian. So Asian John.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Are we going to start that as a hashtag like Jesus? But yeah, that was the exposure
for the Big O and Duke show that I received this week. So
so there was but there was
kind of a footnote to the whole trip. Okay, just to make that clear. The rest of the trip itself, fantastic. But that like but for you guys, since you're all in on the show,
we're P1s,
number one on the hit parade.
Yeah. But the second clip that I pulled, that was the one.
There's
that,
more.
Yeah, there's one more. And the reason
how much
why
have I been drinking?
The reason why I pulled this one, I find it so funny because on the show there are basically three co-hosts,
principles,
right? The three principles for the show.
Yes.
And you know, we've always heard the bit of Drab having something with you and always trying to put you over and stuff, but I didn't expect this one to come. Check this out.
Remember the day he had the cutoff sleeves on?
Oh my God!
I just kept on talking about it. Even
I don't remember that.
Shut the fuck up. We're in the back after the goddamn show.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, did you cut those off yourself, or is that a custom job?
What, so if people come in here and cut off shirts, we don't say anything? We just let it slide?
I don't. We're Colossus.
He looked great
say.
In it. That's, oh,
okay,
that was
that's where it gets weird. Didn't need the second cosign on that. Oh, God.
I thought that was so funny, man.
Okay, they have to be operating in the most poorly ventilated studio in the history
of
podcast studios.
It's really bad in there.
It gets stagnant. The air just dies up there. So
sure, John.
In the
sure,
middle
John.
Of the damn summer, like, I'm showing up. Like, I may come after the gym. It may just be hot as hell where everyone's just stacked up on top of each other. So,
I think it's literally in the attic of the goddamn
it
building.
Is an attic.
It's an attic. I'm just
it
like,
is the third floor.
And I'm like, Jesus, it's so hot. And then with the type of people that show up, they kind of emanate a
kind
lot
of beefy.
Of, yeah, oh, like, yeah, they emanate beefy. A lot of heat. Yeah. So guys like us, like John and I, we need to like, it's even going to be hot for
you
us.
You got
to
ventilate.
Yeah, for sure.
So. I mean, I'm not a man of larger carriage, but I mean, I feel. I feel.
You probably let a few nip slips every now and then, huh?
I mean, I'm not the most precise in the cuts on my t-shirt. And to clarify to answer the question, rather, it was a custom job. I cut my own shirts. But it's hot, okay? The summertime gets hot. And, you know, and if anyone's paying attention to what I'm wearing, you know something may show to others where it doesn't show to people who aren't paying attention. I don't know, man. Jeez,
someone was paying attention.
But either way, there's two of them that's paying attention.
Now the shirts go away. Now the shirts will be worn outside of the studios almost exclusively. So we've almost ensured that from henceforth. But
well, I was proud of you when I heard that. When I heard,
I didn't do anything. I just.
I was just like, yeah, that's my Asian
I
John.
I got complimented on being small and muscular. That's about it. That's about the bare minimum that I bring to the table. So,
but tell us a little bit about the rest of your trip. So, I mean, I think the show at CB Live was part of the main reason why
fantastic.
You went
and
out
again,
there.
I don't want to cross pollinate the shows, but in the off chance that anybody that listens to that show listens to this, I want to say thanks to the Arizona listeners because they were the shit. Like, could not be nicer. Mm. My God, the drinks could not be cheaper.
Damn.
Let me just say, here and now, we are wasting our time here. We are wasting our precious years on God's green earth doing what we're doing here and not doing it there.
Let me guess, the average drink price is probably around like the $4 or $5 range.
There was a tab at one point where I got three drinks for $15. Yeah.
What?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Might have been at CB Live. I don't know.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. Could not go any like everywhere we went. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are ritzier bars. Like, okay, so in the matter to give some context or get some balance, we went to a place post show, a place where the wife did not come because she was so wasted after the after party.
Oh, really?
For the event. So we went to another place called Gilligan's in Old Town Scottsdale.
Oh, you were there.
Oh, yeah. You went.
I did go. Yeah. So I have a bone to pick with Drab about that, by the way. Yeah. Hey, Drab. Different story, different conversation. But we went to that place, and I paid $15 for a Michelob Ultra Tall Boy, or like a draft. Yeah, it was like a 20-ouncer, like 24-ouncer. Like
$15 though.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Michelob Ultra.
Well, when your options are Bud Light or Michelob Ultra, the choices are pretty.
Isn't that the Chris Pratt one?
Yeah, I would drink that over a Bud Light. And you know what? I did. So, I mean, it's not all like sunshine and rainbows. But, but be that as it may, like everything is affordable. All right. You can get by there and not blow the bank, even though we did actually blow the bank. But all that is to say, like, that, like, everything's accessible. Like, I took Ubers the entire weekend. I guess we'll localize it to Phoenix. Phoenix, 10 out of 10. We hit up the fast food haunts that I've actually been clamoring.
Where? You gotta share some details. Where'd you go?
I saw a few, but yeah, please.
First of all, In-N-Out can suck it.
No, I don't care about In-N-Out.
I don't care for In-N-Out.
They're horrible.
I and this is not me being a hipster. I've tried for years. I think going on a decade to appreciate the In-N-Out, and it still has not hit me. So I think we need to leave.
Me too.
I need to leave. Sleeping Dogs Die.
From living out there and having like direct access to In-N-Out all the time, I gave it an honest effort. I was like, I'm gonna try to.
Good
to
on really, you, sir.
Yeah, and it sucked every single
wasted
time.
Wasted time.
Wow. I would say the best is you have to like double up on the patty,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
outside of that, it's not that great.
Waste of time.
I don't know
so
why everyone yeah.
didn't. Even, you know this yep. time. Didn't even bother.
Good.
Never even like considered. Never even came up for consideration.
Okay.
We
stop hating on In-N-Out, but what's
whatever. so your big winners, as always, places we've actually been to. But
yeah.
Well, actually, no. Whataburger was one that I've not.
Oh,
been to.
That's oh. the one I want to try.
Whataburger.
That's great.
So it, the food itself, very good. And they are actually the purveyors of the spicy ketchup.
Nice.
Oh,
that's very good.
Yes.
Have you tried it?
No.
Oh,
you're
amazing.
In luck, sir. So the wife was so enamored with the spicy ketchup. Within a day of us returning home to Virginia, a bottle had been ordered from Amazon.com.
Yep.
Hold on,
yep.
What?
You can order it.
Yeah.
No way.
Amazon, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Spicy ketchup?
Spicy ketchup.
Ketchup.
Yes, and if I have to pat myself on the back for this one. I was eating a Jack-in-the-Box sourdough patty melt.
Yummy.
In my rented Ford Ranger, and I dipped that burger into the spicy ketchup from Whataburger, and I can't think of anything.
Can you just put that shit on everything?
You pretty much can. Yeah. I can't think of anything better I've ever done in my life, besides marrying the wife.
I think if you put it on eggs, it'd be great.
It would be fantastic.
Yeah. It's not one of those, like, you know, sometimes you go to a restaurant, they have their own, like, restaurant
no.
version of ketchup.
No,
that
it's
they,
good. No. It's really
okay.
good.
No,
I've good. Had it before. It's good. And yeah. I've never been to a Whataburger. The only reason I know about it was from Mr. Chad Dukes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So he was kind of beating that drum for us, and it raised my antenna. Like, I've got to check this place out. And the only reason why my experience at Whataburger was kind of, like, iffy was the fact that I was seemingly one of the first people to ever try their mobile ordering app, and it did not go well. I think I got somebody's order inadvertently, and then as I tried to pull out, I had the staff member come out of the restaurant and like jump in front of the car and say, "You got the wrong one," and then they had to chuck my food, the food they gave me, into the garbage because it touched human hands. And
I hate that.
Why would they
do that? I really hate that bit.
Well, I mean, it didn't affect me none because they had my food ready and waiting inside.
I know,
but the guy, but poor son of a bitch on the inside, he was sitting there and he had to get the sad frumpy explanation. Like, sir, unfortunately, we need to cook your food fresh again.
Well, at least they cooked it fresh.
Yeah, but that poor son of a bitch, he was there before me. He was there after me.
All right. So, what did you try at Whataburger? Please describe in detail.
Ah, yes. So. Obviously we got a burger.
Yeah.
But the first thing that pops up on the menu was one of their new offerings. It was the chorizo burrito.
Oof.
That sounds amazing.
Yes.
I always love chorizo.
Yes. Not bad. You know,
not bad.
Because I like chorizo, but
chorizo.
But it didn't really do anything as far outside of the your typical profile for a chorizo offering. Like it tastes like chorizo, so it was okay. It was fine. But the burger that I got from there, I'll say this like right up front, their hash brown sticks are fucking incredible. Hash brown sticks.
Oh god, why are we living in this area?
We
could
it
get fat and die over there.
Dipped it in spicy,
time to go, man.
Dipped it in spicy ketchup. Oh, it was the best. And then the burger that I got from there was the jalapeno jack on Texas toast. On Texas toast.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think there might have been.
Say no more.
Too. Yeah,
you got me.
It was a triumph. Like I took the first bite and I was like, it's okay. But then I realized I think I missed a jalapeno. So by the way, I keep throwing asides in the middle of my statements. They have different jalapeno offerings for your burger.
What?
They have the traditional like pickled jalapeno, and then they have the grilled jalapeno.
Grilled.
What the hell? I took the grilled one because I haven't seen it on the menu before.
Of course.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything, like, spot, like, I took a second bite. It's like, oh, there's the jalapeno. Took a third bite. This is tremendous. And next thing you know, whole damn thing's gone. So Whataburger actually lived up to the lofty expectations of.
So you would do it again?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. My God. Like, and I've been told like it's, or I read up that it's like a Texas institution.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The fact that they bled out into the United States elsewhere, like into the Southwest, into the Southeast.
God,
it's everywhere but here. It's not here. We're in the wrong place.
Yeah, this sucks.
This blows. So again, to reiterate my statement at the top of this, we're wasting our days here. There are things that we could be experiencing that are kind of in our grasp, but we're just letting them just slip right through. So Whataburger, spot on. But we did frequent the Jack in the Box, a place that I have been before.
Ooh, the best.
And the tacos. Always the tacos.
The tacos are just so amazing.
Who knows what the hell's in it? They're just fried. I have to give them credit for being so forward thinking to actually put the hot sauce in the taco.
Yeah.
And you don't have to dress it up any. It just comes ready. It's ready to rock.
Yeah. And it's like $1.10 or something. It's so cheap.
That's my biggest issue. So I think I sent you guys a couple pictures about the tacos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so excited about it. So I sent that off, and then I think I posted it to Instagram, and then the wife's cousin like writes back, it's like, the best dollar you could ever spend in your life. And I'm like about to respond with like a thumbs up and a smiley face emoji, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, wait a second, I paid $1.30.
Oh, it went up in price.
Fuck is this nonsense? So I write that back, and then she reads me this whole diatribe like, you got ripped off, yada, yada, yada. And then later on in the week, after I went back for a third trip to Jack in the Box, it was up to $1.60 in a different state.
No way.
Yeah.
What the hell?
There's a lot of variance.
Is it taxes?
I don't know. It was the list price was $1.30 in Arizona, and then up to $1.60, I think, in Utah.
Man.
Yeah.
Jack in the Box is hands down my favorite fast food.
So they are the gold standard,
They are so fucking good.
24 hours a day, breakfast all day long.
They're the first ones to do it.
And on top of all that, they have like the special like happy hour late night drunk menu too.
Didn't do that.
Oh man, if you go there between like the hours of like midnight to 4 a.m., there's like a special drunk menu for you.
It's just amazing.
It's such a great place.
They have it right. The first time I went there was in Seattle, and I was for work, and I was going through the drive-thru because I was like, I have to eat something.
Yeah.
And I waited for like 15 minutes just because they were backed up. I get up to the goddamn drive-thru window. Didn't say a word. They go, we took 15% off your check.
Oh, my God.
Because they were like, because you waited so long, we just felt bad. I'm like, what?
That's so great.
They're just the best. I was just like, what the hell is this? McDonald's would never do that, ever.
They serve curly fries.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. So underrated.
It hurts my soul. The wife was like, we actually left, we got outside the range where there was a Jack in Box, Jack in the Box. Jesus.
It's okay. It's just English.
Yeah. I'm frothing at the mouth. So the wife and I departed, and we were on the road to a point where, there wasn't a Jack in the Box close by, and we just started to get sad.
You guys felt sad.
Like, I just
collectively.
I wish we could just pull over right now and get some Jack in the Box. I don't want to go back.
We gotta turn around.
This is 200 miles.
This is a bad idea.
Get some $1 tacos. You kidding me? But again, the Jack in the Box lives up to
the best.
Way better than In-N-Out.
Oh,
yes.
I would say yes.
I don't care about their frou-frou ingredients or their everything being grass-fed.
I don't want grass-fed beef. Don't give me that. Give me that like pasteurized beef.
Give me those two mutant tacos made out of horse ass, and we're good to go. I don't give a shit.
It's fine.
I guess once you left Phoenix, what are some of your stops?
We had a little mini West Coast tour. Yeah. Right? So Phoenix was my baby. So I said we're going to Phoenix for the show, and then she says, "Okay, great, we're coming." And then out of nowhere, she's like, "Oh, by the way, we're adding 4 days to the trip, and we're going to check this out, Sedona."
I don't know where that is.
Sedona in Arizona.
Okay.
It's probably, maybe like a 2-hour drive.
Okay. That's not bad.
From out of Phoenix.
Is it north of Phoenix?
I don't know.
South.
Everything you describe, whatever Waze told me to do, I did.
Okay.
Everything you describe is an hour this way, an hour that way.
No. Sedona was like 2 hours. Oh. But if you're going from like Phoenix to like Tempe or Mesa or in Scottsdale, it's 30 minutes every freaking direction. Okay. So be prepared for that. And as a Northern Virginian, as someone who's lived in the driven in the D.C. area, That's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there was no gridlock. But if you listen to the guys on the show, they were complaining about that, the Big O and Duke show. They were talking about the, like, having to drive vast distances.
Precisely.
I didn't feel it at all because I've been through worse. Like, driving 30 minutes to Camelback Ranch to watch the spring training, the Dodgers and the Brewers, perfectly fine. Now, the 40 minutes sitting in traffic just to get
so
2 miles.
Was traffic.
Well, there was traffic once you got to the location, and then you had to go to the stadium. So we went to spring training to see the Dodgers play the Brewers. So it took us 30 minutes to get there, and then it took 40 minutes to go from like the exit to the damn stadium. So that was longer than the drive there, but all that was fine. The game itself, it actually seemed longer than a Major League Baseball game, and we stayed for 5 innings. Pulling teeth.
You had to leave, or it was just
That was our last stop, our last. Portion of our Phoenix trip was spring training, and then onto Sedona. So Sedona is basically a much more beautiful ocean city.
Ocean city?
What? Yeah.
Like, so with exactly
no
like,
ocean. No. So it's beautiful in like the landscape and the monuments and the national parks there. Yeah. Gorgeous. Like, you've never seen anything like it. And there are parts that I'm pretty sure if you guys ventured to hike through with the wife and I, you might have shit yourself. Talking like the heights and the backdrop.
Not for me.
Yeah.
No,
so
thanks.
There's that. But then once you leave those parks and get away from the hike, it's basically just they're trying to sell you a tie-dye t-shirt and rip you off for support walk pizza. Like, it's not as awful, but I got a very similar vibe to that. I
wouldn't expect that there.
But there are pockets. There are nice pockets. Like, I went to the Sedona Beer Company, and
how was that?
Tremendous.
Tremendous.
I bought the hat. Way too expensive, but it may be the best hat I've ever worn in my life. Beer was good. Food's good. Like, people are perfectly nice. Like, Sedona's great. And then we went on to Page, Arizona. Well, I'm trying to think. Did we go to the Grand Canyon? We might have went to the Grand Canyon on the way out.
Did you ride mules?
We rode mules.
Is that a thing to do there?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Mule riding?
I think they sold it to us as something that was kind of rare. Like, it's something that not a lot of people get a chance to do. Like, there's only two of these a day. I'm like, and you're within a group of 15. I'm like, great. But you still took $150 off me without without blinking. So, we rode mules toward the Grand Canyon. Again, you would have evacuated if you did what the... So I've never ridden an equine animal or wild animal ever in my life.
Yep.
And they trust you to get on this burro and approach the edge of the canyon and make sure that your mule is pointed straight out where you can see the cliff. You can see the downward descent, like, right in front of the animal. They tell you it's because you need the animal to be aware of the danger.
Fuck that. I would have hopped off and be like, peace. Like, I can't do this, man.
There's no getting off it. It's like, you're 8 feet off the ground.
Like, your damn mule is going back by itself.
But they say if the mule is afraid, it will back away from a thing.
Well, yeah, that's the natural inclination.
It's natural, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they told you to point your mule in that direction. But if I accidentally whip my mule and get him motivated with my motivator, there's a chance he's just jumping over the side.
Are we talking about the same mule here?
What?
I don't know.
What the hell? No, so they give you a whip. It's called a motivator. And everyone gets kind of like the same like standard issue mule, but like we notice after a few minutes watching these guys that these guys have personalities, like they're all like some of them are a little off. I found the mules. Yeah. So these guys are actually retired mules. They've been doing the shit for years. They're like 20. Their old life. I'm going way deep into mule talk. Like, I had no idea.
Hashtag mule talk.
Mule talk. So they do trips into the canyon with mules. So these guys are veterans of the canyon game, where they're hiking into that sumbitch, and now they're so over it that they're done. Like, they're living the life, not wanting to go down to the canyons at all. But it doesn't mean that their past has completely escaped them, where, like, if they were a little ornery with certain riders, or, you know, like they get spooked. Like, some of them get scared by hikers or anything that you can think of. They may just, like, take off. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind. But they claim that they haven't lost anybody in 140 years. So
claim
claim.
Mm-hmm. Keyword.
So, yeah, but we did all that. It looks fantastic. It's amazing. You can drive for days and never escape the canyon. Like like the Grand Canyon is freaking everywhere. But it was awesome to look at. Christ, what the hell else was there? And then, we left.
The culmination to the trip.
I guess there's a couple of culminations. we went to Zion National Park, which is in Utah, and we decided to glamp.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That was...
Anyway, it's cracked up to
one,
me, brother.
One of the first things I was looking for, I was like, where do you use a shitter? Like, where's the toilet? Glamping.
Behind another piece of canvas. Yes, that's where you do your business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Is that it? Like, that's where do you shower? Where do you brush your teeth? What do you do?
Conceivably behind that same piece of canvas. But I did take a deuce. I did not shower. Because you know why? They actually have to have a tech from the facility regulate the temperature on your shower. I can't change it myself. It's just 40 degrees of cold water shooting out on top of you. So yeah. I experiment for like 4 seconds that this isn't happening. So
yeah. No chance.
Not to mention so they give you your own like stove to keep fire in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
It went out in the middle of the night the first night.
all the pictures you posted was basically you in front of that stove.
Yeah, that was me the entire time. Just trying to keep this stupid ass fire going so we don't die. Because yeah, it's March, April, whatever the hell it is, but it's still cold in Utah. So we're over here just shoving logs in this sumbitch and making sure that the reason why it went out is because I used up all my goddamn fire starters. And by the time it's 4 o'clock in the morning, it's 30 degrees outside. I got no more wood. I got no kindling, and I'm shivering balls. So I'm just sitting here like waiting for the first sign of room service to be ready and available so I can order some more fire starters. So.
Wow.
The second night, not so bad. I spent plenty of time just sitting there throwing more wood, making sure nothing got below an ember. But that was cool. The sucky part was that Zion was actually rainy. It's kind of like a hiker's dream. So it got muddy, and I had diarrhea colored mud all the way up to my knees. but we made the hike. We got up to one of the points, and we were able to check that box off. So that was cool. And then. We finished in Vegas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You're always in Vegas.
Yes.
we were there just a year ago.
Was it a year ago?
That was a year ago. Same time.
That'd be 2 years in a row then. Yeah. So, I'm a Vegas veteran. Jesus. Flaming out of control here. We finished in Vegas. This is kind of like a thank you, I guess, from the wife. She wanted to... She knew she had taken me through the ringer, like through all these cool places.
Were you fighting it when you heard that?
I wasn't
itinerary?
Fighting it. I really wasn't fighting it. Like I knew these were by and large, when you go on vacation, I feel like I'm just kind of along for the ride, and she's gonna plan some cool shit. And to her credit, definitely lived up to that billing for this trip as well. So I mean, yeah, you saw the pictures. So.
Yeah, two of those stops that you guys went to it's on my bucket list. I was jealous, man.
I kind of felt bad. I saw your comments like, Jesus Christ, we should turn back around and pick them up.
please do.
Yeah. So
I want some Jack in the Box too.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, God, I'm so hungry.
Would not have made that trip. So we did all that, and then I think she threw Vegas in kind of as a little kicker to say thanks for riding it out, which I definitely appreciate, because if you guys know me, Vegas is kind of like home. It just feels like home.
Yeah,
feels like home.
Yeah. Especially this time of year.
Yes. It's March. It's the NCAA tournament. It's the best time of year to go to Vegas. If you're even like a modest gambler or someone who's interested in sports, like it's just amazing. But I was only there for one night.
That's tough, man.
It's hard. We
Vegas
hauled ass.
In one night is brutal.
I tailgated everybody leaving Utah going into Nevada that morning so I could place my afternoon bets, all of which lost. So the hashtag ABAJ, always bet against John. It's back and alive.
Good thing I didn't follow your bets this year, because last year you hit big.
Oh man. Yeah,
I should have followed you then. So.
Oh, yeah. You missed out last year, so you know you got to ride the wave every here and there.
So that means you have to skip a year.
Yeah.
So your next trip out to Vegas, so that's going to be the one.
I have to say this: are we going to have a next trip
at some point?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say we're never going again. We're going to have another trip.
But it can't be nebulous. I need to know.
It's not going to be next year.
It's not going to be next year.
You're not going to have 3 years.
Okay,
Vegas.
Tell me when.
I can't tell you that.
I have to know when.
What the hell? There's a lot of pressure.
I really got to know.
He's got the full court press.
I know.
It's the right time of year for the full court press. Look, I was...
Yo, he's manic.
I think he got the itch.
Might be the Arizona beer kicking in.
It's one night of Vegas. That's what it is.
What happened.
It's not enough.
It whet my appetite. And I had mixed feelings about the whole thing because it actually felt way more busy than any other like March Madness season that I've ever experienced.
Where'd you go?
So we stayed at the MGM.
Okay.
But that place is like a zoo in and
it's
of itself.
It's just some madness there.
But then we walked up and down the strip and I'm like, Jesus, it's like a mass of humanity. Like everywhere we went, it just felt like more congested than I've ever remembered. And I thought,
I wonder why.
March Madness felt like kind of a guy's haven, which, you know, it's the sausage fest, but you know, you have a little room to breathe. And this time, not the case at all. I felt like I was beset upon by humanity everywhere we went. So I don't know if it's...
Was there another event going on?
I don't think so. You know what? And I think Vegas has caught on. Like they pushed it like the last couple times we went, but they didn't really give it the big push like I saw this year. Like it felt like they had like big Coke displays, like Coca-Cola saying like you're home for the tournament, like that type of stuff. So it I think they're finally playing up that March Madness crowd.
So magical.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, I would have never thought about going to Vegas during March Madness.
Can we do this whole episode about the about
it,
my
it
trip?
Is okay. Literally about that.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Tune
it's
in
fine.
Next week for less of me.
But dude, man, like it is hands down the best week of the year to go to Vegas.
Why do you think I'm asking you now?
It's the best.
It's so much fun.
It's the best.
Okay,
I guess can we commit to 2 years from now?
You guys are 37.
I am.
I have no idea.
You'll be 37.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before 40 or
yeah,
at 40?
Before 40.
Before.
Okay.
Before.
So not next year is what you're saying.
Correct.
No. Yeah. You need a year break, man.
Yeah, man. You got to take a break.
But one night does not need a break. Okay. Let me just say that here.
Sounds
now.
Like it. No. He's gonna go. He's gonna go without us. Right?
I might.
He's gonna go.
Yes, he is.
He's been there without us before. So
if we're still childless in this happy marriage,
Jesus Christ,
may have to make another trip. Okay, but I will nail you guys on this. Not next year.
Not next year.
The year after.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So 39.
Yeah.
Yes.
Done and done. But yes,
it's such a magical time there.
But it's great though, man. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time?
Oh yeah, I made $300 that night.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I went from my 21st birthday with old Jack over here, just me and him. Like, just no idea why.
We just didn't know what we were doing.
We had no idea.
We had no idea what we were doing.
We didn't know what we were asking for when we said, "Hey, take us to a bottomless strip club in Las Vegas." No idea what that would entail.
Yeah.
But no, the first night, like I was sitting there at the casino bar in the Bellagio waiting to turn 21 officially, and then walked over to the Bellagio poker room and made $300. So,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, first night in Vegas. So
first night in Vegas, the first time at March Madness in Vegas.
Oh,
that was glorious.
When was the first time for March Madness?
My bachelor party.
That was yours. Okay, yeah, got it. Yeah. You were the one who revealed that for us. So
yeah, that
it you gotta give credit for it.
Yeah, we didn't know. We just that was like that was.
Did you just happen?
I just knew that I wanted to be there
just to bet and watch the game.
Yeah, so. Just to watch the game.
But you had no idea what you.
I didn't know the scale. I didn't know the massive scale. So John and I. We were wandering.
No arrangements.
No arrangements
at
all.
The morning of the tournament is like 9 o'clock in the morning or like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was
local
but
time.
But early. Yeah. We were still on East Coast time, right? So we were staying at the Venetian. And then so we were just wandering around. And then we happened to find Legacy Stadium. We managed somehow.
Yes. Yeah. That Emeril Lagasse.
Emeril Lagasse has a sports bar. A sports bar, which is the best sports bar you can ever imagine.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. There's lounges. It's got stadium seating in the middle. A huge screen.
Everywhere you look, there's a game
going on. TVs everywhere.
There's TVs everywhere.
Littered.
Bars all across. And so we just somehow we made it through the gaming floor. Because we didn't lose our money because we were just degenerates then. And we then? Found this place, right? We found this glorious place, and we were like, excuse me, what is this place?
What is this? Is this heaven?
Right. And so they were like, well, we don't have any tables for you, but you can stand at the bar. We're like, we'll stand at the bar.
Like, not
yeah, for
problem.
Sure. No, we had no accommodations. They were like, I mean, at
we
that
made no plans.
Yeah. At that point, they were like, I think they told us it was like 1,000, maybe 600 or something.
No. Like at the bar, it was like 500 a person. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
To
yeah,
sit at the bar?
Yeah, to like get a table and like have our space, right? Like, and we were like, can we just stand at the bar? They were like, yeah, you can stand at the bar. We're like, okay, we'll do that. And we kind of like knit, like made a space for ourselves. But we spent like 4 hours there.
Four? We were there from like 9 a.m. till 9 in the evening.
It was pretty long.
It was a 12-hour day. Yeah, We put in some work that day.
Yeah.
But now prices have skyrocketed. I think it's like $1,000 to $1,200 a person to go to Legacy Stadium.
God damn.
If you want a table.
For us, when we went
and,
for
and they don't even... I think now you can only book a table for like half day blocks, right? Like
something like that.
Like you want the AM sessions or you want the PM sessions?
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah.
Dang, remember when we went? It was
we were there camped out all
we
day.
We camped out all day for, I think it was only like a $500 minimum. Because I called like, I want to say 4 or 5 months in advance.
Yeah.
And then they said, call back in 2 months. I was like, all right, I'll call back. And I set an alarm and a reminder and I called back.
What a loser.
It was for you, son of a bitch.
Oh. I appreciate it. That's so thoughtful. Wow. What a great guy.
God damn it. But yeah, it is a
so
magical
I'll call in 24 minus the 2. 22 months. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll make this happen.
But yeah, it is for March Madness. It's great. You can bet on all the games and it's just a great time.
I mean, just glorious.
Yeah, it's like, you know, even for like the non-college basketball enthusiasts. Like,
I don't know shit about basketball.
I don't, yeah,
you,
I mean,
you
like,
may not watch the entire season, but when you go...
I thought Bryce Harper was in the tournament this year. I swear to Christ.
When you freaking go to Vegas during March Madness week, it's unexplainable like what the feeling is. There's so much energy. Everyone rocking their school, like everyone has their jackets and hats and apparel and all, you know, everyone's rocking the colors.
Seriously.
Then you got all these, like, everyone's drunk from the morning all the way, you know, because the first games on the East Coast is around like the afternoon, it actually starts first thing in the morning. So you wake up, you eat breakfast and you watch the game
and you go. Yeah, you just go.
You're wrong on one account. We don't eat breakfast.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
We just start drinking from a pail of Heineken.
Bloody Marys.
Or that, too.
Yeah.
And it's like when you watch the game here, like when you're at the office or when you're watching at home, you know, there's a lot of games, so you switch between channels and you kind of pick the game you want to watch. But there it's like, imagine you can see every single game as it happened. And you can see the line and you can go place a bet within like walking distance to where you are.
You never have to
and
choose.
You can bet. There's so many ways to bet. There's picking, you know, a straight bet with the teams. You can bet halves. Yeah. You can bet
parlays.
Oh, it's just so much fun, man.
Again, you don't need to know anything.
Yeah, you can just kind of bet with your feeling. Like, you don't give a damn about what's going on.
Here's the best summary, though.
Pick the team with the best color. Who cares?
There you go. Here's the best summary. A lot of people are really happy, and then a lot of people are really sad. And then it just cycles. It just goes.
But there's so much happiness before the very first game of the day.
Yeah.
Everyone's in line. They're placing bets like, hey, what you getting? Yeah, you know.
Well, the pro move is to actually make your bet the day.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, the night before.
That's smart.
That's the bet. Because you don't want to stand in that awful line when everybody, like at 8.
Which I did.
Yes. At like 8.
On Friday.
50, right? So you don't want to do that.
Friday at 12:30 in the afternoon. It's a terrible freaking mistake. God.
Yeah.
But
so much fun though.
No, to sum up this trip and I guess this episode, we had a good time in Vegas. we did not come out winners, but we did mitigate losses at certain points, so that was good. I missed my our techspert Pa. He was actually my craps whisperer the last time I went out. And I have to tell you, like, his coaching was invaluable.
Yeah,
and just the little tips as far as maximizing my bets and odds.
That guy knows how to play, man.
Oh my god, he just knew when to push the buttons. He's like a coach. Like he's like Dusty Baker, and I'm that pitcher on the mound. Like my arm's either gonna fall off or I'm gonna get the strikeout. And like he's that guy, and he got me those outs. might have to 2 years time. Might have to make a phone call to old Pa
Billy.
Sorry, I forgot he has
pa,
a
name. Pa doesn't go to Vegas. Billy
Pa's
does.
Dead. Long live Billy. yeah, man. An hour has flown by.
Now he's like, I want to go back next week.
You? No. I found this. We've done, Jack and I have done the second week of the tournament, which is fine.
It's not as good.
It's not the first week.
It's not as good.
It's the first day, right?
It's utter chaos.
It's complete. It's just the energy. You can feel it. You know it. You can feel it in the air. I've seen, remember, I think it was at your bachelor party, John, where you saw guys fly in and they just didn't even go to their hotel rooms and check in. They just brought their carry-ons with them and they just like with their luggage to Legacy Stadium.
I think that's
like, a thing
that was like borderline us last year, like
kind of sort of.
We got into Vegas,
we got like 3 a.m.
we were trying to sleep.
We don't need to talk about that damn trip,
but the other guys wouldn't let us sleep, so we're like, it's only 2 hours away, and then we can.
Actually, they didn't want to sleep. We wanted to sleep
because you guys knew.
And then somehow, like the meeting of the minds led us to walking the strip until sunrise.
You guys are veterans. You knew you needed that sleep. These guys were. I mean,
but
it's
we
not,
didn't.
Yeah,
shit. We didn't get it.
Oh, you went with Billy. That's what happened.
I don't even think it was Billy. That was the one that was egging us on.
Nope, I think everyone paid the price that day.
that was a crazy day.
It was a combined effort.
That's why I'm like, you know, I always think about all of the memories that I have of first days in Vegas, and I just can't imagine it's first day and then you go home.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard, man.
Yeah, we actually cut out quite a few of the planned activities in Vegas for this
Not
iteration.
Enough time.
It just wasn't. Like, we thought we could, like, squeeze one thing here, and then all of a sudden, like, I think I'm gonna die. I think we're gonna die right now. So we just had to like put the brakes on real quick and say, you know what, we'll just cut this out. We'll regroup. We'll do a few things earlier. We ended up. So we usually play craps like in downtown Vegas, like after hours. We did it, but early this time. It was like 9:30.
Is it the same? No, right?
It was actually fun. Well, you know, there were ebbs and flows. Like there was about a good hour and a half where we wanted to kill everybody within arm's length. It's like you guys suck at everything that you do, and I'm sure your loved ones would say the same thing. But then we were down on our last few chips, and like screw it, we got to go all in. And lo and behold, thankfully, a man who had been drinking Hennessy for several hours said, "You know what? We got to get this table going," and he just starts cleaning up, and we ride the wave, and we save ourselves from like losing $1,000 in 2 hours. So, all in all, it saved us from really having a disappointing trip to Vegas. But I will hang my hat on the possibility, or rather, the certainty, that 2 years from now we'll be in Vegas together, all of us.
Yeah. I guess I'll
I need a commitment.
I guess I'll leave you with this last question. Does anything change if we can start making bets down the street?
That, you know, that's the thing. I think this next year should be the beta test for us to see if this operation is worthwhile, because DC has approved sports betting. So, you know, there's a chance that it could serve as a stopgap, but it doesn't have all the ancillary activities
I heard, you know, Ted Leonsis is talking about his vision of what
he doesn't know where the hell the thing's going to go. Okay.
No, yeah. But, somebody tweeted.
It's in the Green Turtle, but it's not in the Green Turtle. It's in the subterranean the layer of another turtle.
It's in a metro station. It's in Gallery Place.
Who the hell knows? They can't get their story straight. I can't rely on that.
Yeah, but I mean, if they really do make it happen in DC, who knows? Maybe it changes your view on this stuff.
I'll say it may be a nice substitute, but I can't.
It's not the same though.
It can't be Vegas. It's just an impossibility.
No.
Well, I didn't mean to make this entire show about myself. Great.
I had a feeling we're gonna run long with this, but it's good. It was good. Now you got me hungry for some Jack in the Box.
Oh God!
And what a burger. I really want to try Whataburger.
So do I. Can we cancel the next show just so we can just go eat something?
Just go eat something.
I'm famished.
It's only like a 3-hour flight out there?
No, not that bad. Well, yeah, it's more than that. Like maybe 4 hours.
Four or five, right?
Dude, you need to get out. Can you get out?
4 hours, get a Whataburger, 4 hours back.
It's a very expensive burger, but we've thought about it. Trust me.
You got to do more stuff. All right. Well, hopefully... hopefully you find some perspective after this. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll have more, hopefully less of me, but we'll have more stuff to talk about next week. So glad to have you back, Jack.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome back, Agent John.
Hey. He's catching on now. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.